At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black Vibe Reality.
Black Vibe Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and are listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. And I am your host, Nicole Weaver, an entertainment reporter, formerly from Collider, and now I am writing for Pop Heist. And I am here to talk about episode 13 of Survivor 47. I did say last week that I was just going to talk about all the finale in one episode. Yeah, I had to change my mind after watching last night's. And I don't have a guest this time, so we're just going to do this one-on-one because I have to talk about the fallout of Operation Italy. First, I hope you guys subscribe if you are watching on YouTube, and if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I hope you rate this podcast 5 stars. I really don't ask for that enough. And just a reminder that you can subscribe, follow on both platforms. So if you can't really watch and have to be on the go, you got it in your phone. Now, to start, the fallout of Operation Italy. Now, Sam, Genevieve, and Andy, they have a cover story, as they should, after everything that they pulled off with Teenie. Teenie is so interesting in the relationship that they have with everyone else. It's like there's a social player where they can kind of go in and out of being burned, especially by Genevieve. I mean, come on. But then they still are able to ingratiate themselves. So this was very interesting. I thought the beginning of this episode, everyone was playing to their strengths, with Genevieve already having a cover story, able to pull on Teenie's heartstring, Teenie being like, oh my gosh, this should be my new Final Four. And it's so funny because I feel like we've seen the jury have a very negative perspective on Andy. I wonder what their perspective is on Teenie, because Teenie is that flip-flopper. But I do think when the flipping is skillful and absolutely being in control of the votes, I don't understand why the jury has such a negative perspective on that, because in the end, you controlled the game. I mean, okay, I can understand because the jury's literally sitting there because Andy flipped, but it's like, if Andy did make it to the end, either he's going to continue being underestimated, which he has been fighting against for the past few episodes, or he is going to be up against a lot of sour grapes from a lot of people who trusted him, were rooting for him at that final. So I still wish he made it further, but we'll get there. After this, of course, Rachel, again, everyone's playing to their strengths, right? So Rachel, I think, has been a quiet player this whole entire season. And yet, also Genevieve was, until Genevieve put herself on blast having that Saul vote. She has then been gunning for Rachel the whole time because she sees that threat in Rachel. And Rachel, being the sneakier player, of course sneaks up on this so-called Final Four to listen. And she gets great intel. The intel is that All of them are gunning for her, including Teeny. Rachel hears that Genevieve has an idol. Of course, that idol is fake, but still good information. And then Teeny outs her block of vote, which Rachel's like, that's what sealed the deal, which is what I think future Survivor castaways should really pay attention to. It's just like any little betrayal that's tacked on, it's like, okay, they could be yes manning the other side, but if they're adding new information like that block of vote, then it's like, all right, we're done. And thankfully, yes, Rachel used the block of vote to get inroads with the final, well, not the final five, the underdog alliance. And it worked in some ways. I mean, I think Sue really valued that information, but thankfully she didn't also put out her idol, because that information would have been donezo. So there's always a balance. That's just the lesson learned, is a balance in giving information. Now, the next day, Genevieve ends up, we have this relay, we're diving into the ocean, we have another puzzle. Genevieve is like, oh my gosh, Rachel is going to get this. Kind of shady to everyone else who is here, but okay. And actually, Genevieve ends up winning it. She also takes Teeny and Sue to the sanctuary. Teeny is so easily wined and dined. Like, the minute Teeny had that canter of wine, I was like, put it down, because I remember last time when you were in that sanctuary with some wine, Teeny, and I still don't think that went well for you. You were not focused. And of course, Teeny was not focused. Teeny ends up slipping up and outing a fake idol. Thank goodness it wasn't a real one. But you know what? Genevieve has backstabbed Teeny so much that it's like, yeah, after this, Sue, of course, is not really having it, but I think Sue usually is just like, I'm just going to shut up. If you just looked at her a second longer, you would see all of her tails. I don't know if anyone else has noticed. Like, later on in this episode, when Andy flat out asks, like, oh, so you're not going to vote for me next time? Sue's like, yeah, no. And then she's like, whatever. Like, but I don't think Andy was looking at her at all. I think that's kind of how people have been treating Sue, which honestly hurts and helps her. Because the thing is that I still say Sue has played a great game. I think she's highly discounted because of her age. If she was younger, it would have been three of them having a mother off instead of just Rachel and Genevieve. But I'll get there when I get there. So from here, basically, Rachel has to play dead. Now, I was really called to talk about this episode because it was just all about, I think, the queer straight foils we've been having all season. And if we remember, in episode one, Andy wakes up Rachel in the middle of the night to try and get some comfort from her. She's like, you're doing too much. You could be ruining my game. It starts off on a rocky foot, and Andy seems like the loose cannon in this whole game. And he's just been working himself up from that. Rachel has been very steady and I think understandably has not changed her perspective on Andy too much throughout, but this is like the turning point in this episode, because when Andy thinks that Rachel's basically done for, he gets really honest with her, which could honestly be a great jury management move, and Rachel saw this in him. Andy's talking about, you know, as a friend, I hope you keep an open mind about my decisions. He says he cares more about her respecting him because he respects her, which honestly I think is true. I don't think he's lying about that. Like, there's a reason why he was called to her in episode one in his, like, very vulnerable moment. But also, Rachel knows she's also a juror, or in his head. So now she's like, oh, this is what Andy is doing to work people. I am being worked by him. She asks if he thinks he can beat Sam. Andy says he did a lot of purposeful moves. And now he doesn't even know, but by Rachel asking that, she was like, okay, this is your final in front of the jury. Start giving me some arguments. And in this, we only see him alluding to, I think I would make some very interesting arguments in front of the jury. I made more purposeful moves, which is true, and which is why I have been kind of harder on the perspective that people are holding so on to Sam, because we have to remember in the beginning of this season, people were projecting onto Sam. He has like a fiance at home, and people were like, oh, Sam and Sierra duo. Whether that was already naturally the case or it formed because of that, like, that's always been the case. It's like, how much of Sam's game so far has been like through his actions and more other people projecting onto him. So Andy gives his perspective. Of course, it's convincing because he has been in control of a lot more moves. And even Sam has like admitted that at the sanctuary. He says basically Andy has been his hero in this game. So why take out Andy why take out Sam when you can take out the hero of the game, Andy? So this was not a very surprising decision, but this season has been so good because of this foil thing, is that Andy has had the opposite trajectory of Rachel, and almost even in episode one, he has been wanting some kind of validity from Rachel, and he gets that. In this episode, it's just when she votes him out, and he even says, this is like kind of an honor. Like, it's very poetic in that way. And as much as I've been rooting for Andy, I'm also just happy for like him in this moment of like, in a way, all he wanted was to see as like a good player and a threat, and Rachel being the one of the biggest threats, finally sees him for what he is. And it's still so funny because at that tribal council, Sam, straight faced, he is not happy when Rachel pulls out the idol, and he's still thinking it's gonna be me. And it's like that this also has to, I would hope, put on a light bulb for Sam. I saw that he tweeted, or really was on Blue Sky last night, saying he's never got a vote against. You haven't gotten a vote against, but it's like, but why? Is it because no one's seeing you as a threat, or it's because your game has been that good? It is definitely something to put in his pocket if he goes in front of the jury, but that would be like my main question. And now that Andy's in the jury, he can really start taking credit for a lot of Sam's stuff. Like, this is probably actually not good for Sam, but you can let me know if you disagree. I also wanted to point out a similarity in Rachel and Genevieve that I think is like a bigger hindrance to their game, and something to like take of note. So Genevieve has stepped on Teenie's toes multiple times, and last episode, basically, she offends Teenie, basically saying Rachel's the big target. I would vote for Rachel. And Teenie's like, so you don't think I can beat Rachel? And it becomes more a tense situation, because like Teenie, I think, or like Andy, Teenie wants Genevieve's approval of like, I've been here since day one. You have seen me work at this every single day. And you're talking about this girlie you just met after the merge is the bigger threat. Like, try to put some respect on my name. And I think when these bigger threats are talking to these other people, they don't get that. they think they're being very logical, but it's like, this is the part where like the jury management, if Teenie ever goes to jury, could be a tough, hard sell. So Rachel does the same thing in this episode, kind of, to Andy. And like, Andy's already heard it with Genevieve in the past episode. That's when he got the ball rolling of like, okay, I have to start doing some things because I'm seeing too, they're underestimating me too much. There has to be a balance. So it's not a uphill battle on finale night when I'm making my case. It doesn't seem like I'm just pulling things out of thin air. So yeah, Rachel kind of does that to Andy, and Andy's like, actually, I'll show you what's what. And it just bit him in the butt. But it's like, I don't know if there's much more he could have done. It's not like he knew that she had an idol, and you really can only have like a low threat level for so long. And we could already see, I think the jury's well aware that Andy's doing stuff. They weren't fans of it though, not from their reactions in this episode. So later on, Rachel, which I thought was so interesting, she says the comparison that I have been thinking about in this Teenie versus Genevieve. Again, a foil. Genevieve and Teenie start off on the same tribe, and Teenie was doing pretty well and actually had maybe more connections than Genevieve, who only had Rome, who was such a chaotic, like, contentious player, which Genevieve was like, but if I can control him, then there you go. And she cut him once she found out she couldn't control him. And all of a sudden, Genevieve is pulling the wool over Teenie's eyes over and over, and Teenie's getting frustrated. And Genevieve said earlier, one day you're going to have to do the same to me. That's when we knew, at least some people who really pay attention and read into the edit, that's when we knew Teenie's going to be the downfall of Genevieve. We just don't know when. And Rachel said in her confessional when debating between Sam and Andy, you know, Andy has pulled the rug over my eyes 3 times. And she was still willing to try to work with him in this one until Sue's like, he's never gonna do it. He's gonna rat out everything you say to him to the others. And I feel like this is the awakening that Teenie had a couple episodes about Genevieve. Like, Teenie was pretty focused on Genevieve until no one wanted to do it and focus elsewhere. Then it was about Sam. And this episode, Teenie's like, hands up in the air. All these people keep duping me. I don't know where else to go from here. So it's very interesting that basically in this comparison, Rachel is like Teenie when it comes to the whole Andy of it all, but then not, obviously. It's not a direct, but we have two awesome parallels. So from here, at Tribal, I loved this. Rachel and Genevieve are just talking about how they're openly targeting each other. They're not going to BS each other, trying to become friends, team up. No. We're going to war. And basically the rest of the castaways are kind of like pawns in this war, which you can see they're all very offended by, but it's just kind of true at this point. So Rachel and Genevieve, they said that they're like Voldemort and Harry Potter. At least Rachel did. They're weirdly connected, but one of them has to die. Savage. I think they both have Slytherin in them. I'm just going to say that Harry Potter could have chosen Slytherin, chose Gryffindor, but they both are very Slytherin. Moving on, of course, Rachel blocks Sam's vote, plays her idol, writes down Andy. Sam also didn't look, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to read too much into Sam's reaction, but when his vote was blocked and then Rachel played her idol, I think he really thought he was going to be the first to go. And I just wonder what was going through his mind, that it was Andy instead. So Also in this episode, Teeny says that Rachel will beat them in fire if they go there. So of course they want Rachel out. Very, very interesting. I don't know if that was left in because of some foreshadowing. Do Teeny and Rachel go to fire? I don't know. Teeny just admitted that that wouldn't work. So that could even be a meta move, maybe, of like, don't put me in fire. Get Sam to do it. Get Sue to do it. Anyone but me. I'm not good at that. Who knows? So in the end, Sue also says that she won't vote for Rachel in front of the jury in this. So I think that's a feather in her cap for the jurors if they're still paying attention to Sue's game. Sue knows what's what. That wasn't luck. Rachel gave her that information so she can be on the right side, I guess, of that vote. But yeah, I still think Sue's age is like the biggest thing that people are just counting her out on, because she had that idol for a very long time. I still highly doubt that's going to be what pushes her over the edge to at least edge out Sam in what if these two women don't make it to the end. Because they had that conversation. They were like, who's going to win if it's not us? Genevieve says Sam. And I'm like, I hate that, but it's true. Everyone comes back to camp after this. Andy gets out. I noticed all the jurors, they nodded, they thumbs up. They're like, now we have a game. I'm like, oh my god, they hated Andy. They had a game when Andy was flipping. Like, what are you talking about? Oh my gosh, that jury. But whatever, man. Whatever. So later on, Rachel wins immunity. It's a bunch of stacking balls. And this was so wild to watch because it was either of their games. Like, Rachel and Genevieve were going back and forth. But here's the thing. I saw someone say it's kind of misogyny to credit, like, a lot of things to Rachel for luck. Every Survivor caster will tell you luck is such a huge part of this game. It is misogyny if it only comes up when you're talking about a woman. But I'm a person who has been absolutely talking about Sam luck. If not, but I don't even see it as luck. It's just that society has already stacked things in his favor to be perceived a certain way. That was so obvious from the beginning of the season that there were like these two attractive white people. They have to be in a showmance together. There's so many things that just are outside of his control that's affecting the game. For Rachel, it just, there's no other word for it. Like, obviously she has skills, and so does Genevieve, but like, if everyone else's tower didn't fall down, then she wouldn't win. You can have the skill, but there's just other things outside of your control as well that comes into play. Moving on. So basically, Rachel, safe. Genevieve's the next target. However, she has this fake idol. I feel like she had to have known, though, that Sam would have outed this idol. I don't know if she could have come up with another plan, though, to correct that. Obviously, she's still playing in the gray area. Is it real? Is it not? Teeny, you even said that Genevieve was lying when she said that the idol or the clue to it was underneath the pizza slice. But still, at Tribal, I think Teeny's head has just been spun so much throughout this whole season that they're just like, I don't know where to go. They're trying to whisper to Rachel. Sue is like, I know what I'm doing. So there's nothing over here. Sam says the same thing. I'm sticking over here. And what do you know? Of course, Genevieve then gets voted out. It's not an idol. When Genevieve was like, it's not real, and Sue said, aw, then plays her own messy boots, Sue. I mean, Sue didn't even need to play it. I think it was just like a cherry on top. Maybe Sue should have just gone to the final and like had the idol. I don't know if it would have been as big of a move as like Marianne, but like I said, Sue's just going to have an uphill battle. But this is basically everything that happened in that episode. And wow, 46 and 47 are really good seasons back to back with the feuds, the gameplay. This season has been more about like the basics. A lot of the gameplay has been focused on that when it comes to Survivor rather than a lot of the advantages, although they do absolutely come to play. The main focus though is just the basics of social strategy and a little bit of the challenges. It just has been going back and forth, and that makes him much more dynamic. The bisexuality in both seasons. We left off in 46 with Kenzie winning, and that was great. And she was such like a social, beautiful player who came from the most like chaotic purple tribe. And Andy being the chaos in his original tribe and like trying to gain respect, which I think he absolutely earns in multiple ways during filming and in real life. Like, so good for him. He could not pull off another win for the bisexuals, but we absolutely won just having him and being very entertaining. So going into part two of this finale is going to be very interesting. We are left with Sue, Teeny, Rachel, and Sam. That immunity is going to be very important. No one can be voted out, and the rest, someone's going to go out on fire. So there's so many factors when it comes to fire, where the wind is blowing, who has practiced the most, all of that. People are going to have to really be convincing to whoever wins that immunity. And we're going to see. I mean, if Rachel loses, no matter what, she's going to fire. That's a given. It'll be very interesting, though, if she wins. So maybe I'm rooting for a more interesting episode with her winning and having to see Sue, Teeny, Sam argue. I mean, you're putting Sam to fire no matter what, right? I've seen Chappelle, who was a guest this season, talking about this season. He said that Teeny should ask to go to fire. I don't disagree. Obviously, fire's not our very favorite aspect of the finale of these shows, but when you need something, everyone has always said you should take the opportunity to go to fire. So, and Teeny has been doing, honestly, their own self in, their own game in, by just talking so much in front of this jury. I think that's the one big. Teeny is just like, I'm here to tell you everything. I don't know what's going on. And the one time that I feel very confident, I do too much saying I'm too confident about it. So it's been wild to watch, but it's also funny, entertaining. And that's kind of the big part of this show, right? I think those are all of my thoughts. If I had to have a chaotic bisexual moment, maybe the chaotic bisexual moment would be Andy's full turn. This is kind of also cinematic, and like when the villain finally shows all its cards and like gives the big monologue, and that's what does the villain in, is talking too damn much. I love it. So that's my chaotic moment. My black joy in watching this episode. I think it might just be watching maybe Rachel and Genevieve go tit for tat. It's something you don't really watch women do a lot of, like, the fun adversary thing. I think that's a way, like, men bond is, like, because they're socialized to be very competitive in a way. And it was very interesting to watch how perturbed the man was to watch this go down, because it's almost like they all knew what this was. But women should be able to talk up their game. It's not the best, but it's like, what are you going to do at this point? You can't switch everything up now. We're 23 days in. So anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this solo recap. Next week, I will be joined by one or more people. I hope you subscribe to the channel. We have a Discord now. The Discord link will be below. So I have a channel for Astrology, Survivor, Love is Blind, which is really going to be all the dating Netflix shows. I am talking about The Ultimatum in YouTube Shorts and on TikTok. So I hope you enjoy that. And again, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, then I hope you rate this podcast 5 stars and leave a review. If you have any chatter that you want to say, you can always comment on the YouTube, but also you can email blackbyreality@gmail.com. Tell me what you've thought of this season. Maybe I'll read it on the finale episode. Thank you so much if you have been watching the Survivor recaps. I do want them to grow since I am pretty consistent with, like, Big Brother. I do want the Survivor recaps to grow, and I'm just so thankful, though, for all the people who are already here and been staying in it with me. I hope you feel visible and stay visible. Bye.